Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. There is a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan here, along with Michael and Rob as well, on Propaganda. This is the show where we hear clips from the football world and we'll tackle the key questions that they throw up, such as, does Jesse Marsh have tactics?
Short answer.
We'll get to it. What's in Steve Nicholls' DVD collection, and is there anybody more unbearable than Jake Humphrey? It's in your podcast app, it's on YouTube, and TSB Plus members look out for Propaganda Extra in your podcast feed and on the website. Bonus bits of propaganda. Quick reminder, we've been nominated for Fan Media of the Year Award. 1 week to go on the voting for that, the FSA. We've set up a website link, redirects to it, thesquareball.net/vote. It takes like seconds, just like Michael. It's all over in seconds, isn't it? Hey?
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 Hey? Hey?
Category 4, Fan Media Award. You can vote in the others if you want. If not, just give us a vote. Voting closes at midnight on Halloween, so we've got one more week or less to go on that, and we'd like to win it because it's more fun than losing, isn't it, as we know?
It's nice because if we win, we can go to the awards and hopefully ours is an early one and then we can ignore the rest of it. being unbearable knobheads. Just looking at our trophy.
Right, let's get into it then. And the first question I want to put in your direction from clips that we found on the internet this week. At least we're not Wolves, yeah? Because when times are tough, it can always be worse. That's the point to remember, isn't it? If we can't be happy, who else can be happy?
No one.
Exactly.
No one, yeah. Okay, good.
Pay attention, Michael. You know, Wolves got pumped 4-0 by Leicester at the weekend, so they're dead sad. This clip is from Talking Wolves. Two things to note. Listen out for a name from Leeds United's past, which caught me by surprise. And does any of this sound vaguely familiar?
At the minute, it seems like a chore. I hate it. I hate going, but we still go. I think today is just a microcosm of the bigger picture at Wolves, which in no uncertain terms is an absolute shit show from top to bottom. From top to bottom, no one's got a clue. Fans baying for blood for Scott Sellers today. I understand the frustrations, but I really don't think that he's the sole reason and the sole problem. I think the problem goes above, and I think that's the problem with Jeff. The structure of the club is ridiculous, and I've never known a club like it. Today, I thought we started well. First 10 minutes was good, but after that, it was dreadful. It's rotten. It's absolutely rotten. I don't agree with the singing we're fucking shit and all that. I don't think it helped. But what else have we got to sing about? It's so toxic there at the minute. And it's bold of the club to assume that we're going to be still afloat come January 2023 when they want to appoint a new manager, because, plot twist, we're not going to be with performances like that. The whole situation around the managerial departure and acquisition is nothing short of negligible. And in any other business, heads would roll. So they should. So for me, whoever's looking at this from a hierarchical point of view, Bosa, they need to sort it out, because their investment and their asset is about to become a whole less worth than what it is now. Shambles.
How does that make you feel?
At home.
Yeah. You could substitute the 49ers in for Fosun there, couldn't you?
Probably,
watching your investment diminish.
Except I suppose he wasn't really naming names in the boardroom particularly then, was he? I know he did mention sales, but he was like, I don't think it's really him. I think it's elsewhere. Whereas I feel like Victor Orta has probably come more directly in for some flack.
Yeah, I did chop a bit out of that just for timing purposes, where he does actually get into the Jeff that he's on about. I think he's the guy that seems to be one of the owners or the majority owner. So he does call him out, saying that he feels like he wants complete control over affairs. But yeah, Scott Sellers, Played for Leeds between 1983 and 1986, and then again in 92-93 very briefly in the post-championship season. And he was appointed, I had to look in at this all on Wikipedia and stuff, but he was appointed head of Wolves Academy in 2019. He's now their technical director. But there's a bit of confusion around what his role is. It's not quite clear. And I think the fans have sort of, you know, he's the lightning rod for all their frustrations at the minute. Because apparently he's in communication with the bench during the games. But the guy who's their interim manager, Steve Davis, he says he's not making footballing decisions. He's just chatting about things around the game.
That's how Chilitino used to do,
can I say. Yeah, with one of the coaches. And the songs that the fans have been singing is, we want Sellers out. Sellers, Sellers, make a sub. And Scott Sellers, get out of our club. That kind of thing. So yeah, Wolves. At least we're not Wolves, right?
It is comforting to hear some misery. Some shared misery, as Jesse Marsh was talking about with Brendan Rodgers. I feel like we've got some friends there. A good friend of mine is a Wolves fan, and he texted me at full time in the Leeds game. The basic gist was, surely that's your manager's final game. But then he did say, at least you're not Wolves. I've never seen a team look so unlikely to score. I mean, their stats at the weekend are insane. I think they had 21 shots and lost 4-0. Leicester had 4 shots on target, which is actually less efficient than they were against Leeds, because they had 1 shot on target, I think, against Leeds and scored 2 goals or something like that. So yeah, a very weird game, but I suppose that's one positive to take out of the weekend.
I mean, Wolves, I guess, in a way, backing up Leeds United's assertion that there are simply no strikers in world football that you can sign, because they had to go and drag Diego Costa off a beach or something, didn't they? I mean, he's only 34. I thought he was at least 40-odd, I have to say.
Younger than you, Michael.
When I heard them sign him. He just always looked like an old man. When he was at Chelsea, he looked like he could have passed for about 50.
Grizzled.
Yeah.
Yeah, grizzled. With reference to the managers then, we got a message in from Ginger Paul. This was after the Leicester game. But it poses an interesting question about Jesse Marsh. And have we seen all this before?
In the wake of that Leicester game, honestly, the guy needs to get to fuck. I've given it 10 games to try and figure out a proper opinion of him and not just knee-jerk and say he's pish, but he fucking is. He's out of his depth. He's irritatingly, falsely positive, and he's going to drag us down while still claiming that it wasn't a bad game and everyone tried hard. He's pretty much an accent and a cadence of speech away from being fucking Warnock with these post-game interviews. I'm just fucking done with him. And if at the game at Fulham on Sunday we get scalped by another team who is deservedly in the bottom section, I want him gone on the next plane and gone to fuck.
The question there is he Warnock in disguise? Have we seen all this before? We've got more Warnock, by the way, on Propaganda Extra for you. Is he Warnock in disguise?
I'm enjoying the use of the phrase get to fuck and pesh. Very good, like, good Scottish words.
Like having Phil Hay back in the
Scottish
room.
Scottish phrases there.
When the time does come for Jesse, we should get that guy to sack him and tell him in that those exact terms.
Next to the corner flag picture on the official website, Jesse Marsh has been told to get to fuck.
Well, we do score the players and the manager out of 10, don't we, with member feedback, TSB Plus members, and Jesse got 1.38 out of 10 for the Fulham game. I presume that score is.
Yeah.
That's not very high, is it?
I think it was similar for Leicester. I can't remember the exact number, but yes, it was not great. And he's now only, there's only junior Firpo between him and bottom of the league for the scores this season.
Oh, brutal.
And I mean, junior Firpo is kind of cruel having him on there.
Is that where the scale starts?
Yeah.
The Firpo scale. Well, there's a responsibility clearly as well in the boardroom, which I guess we'll get onto, but most of the questions obviously are around Marsh at the minute. And the views differ on it. So let's hear from a couple of people who have opposing views on this and see what we think about the question. Is this Jesse Marsh or is it something else? And is this Harrison's indecision? Is that the name of the person who sent this in?
It is.
Very good.
Well, that was thoroughly disappointing. When we have possession, the players just don't have a clue what to do with it. And that's down to Marsh and that's down to the system. If we can't press and tackle the defenders or the defensive midfielder into making a mistake, we're screwed. We haven't got a way to create anything. And that's down to Marsh. And he needs to go. Rubbish.
So, is it Jesse Marsh or is it not? Because Yankee John has a differing view on this. Thinks Jesse might not actually be the problem.
Hey guys, Yankee John here. I'm wondering, if we sack Marsh, what are we looking for? Do we want to press less? Do we want to play less aggressively? The players seem to buy into the press. They run hard. They steal the ball. They get a lot of shots, especially in the first half. Ideally, those shots fall. But our strikers are shit. So we sack Marsh,
strikers don't change. Is Bamford going to make one out of two shots a game instead of one out of four? Our defense is shit. We sack Marsh. Defense doesn't change. Play less aggressively. Defense sees more of the ball. Are we going to concede fewer goals that way? I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm a little biased. But just trying not to jump the gun. Cheers.
It was very honest of you to admit that, Yankee John. And you've got an absolutely amazing voice as well. You should be on like on radio, I think, with that. Late night talk show host, maybe.
I kind of feel like Jesse is still a problem. He's not all of the problem by any stretch, but I do feel like if we had another way of playing, maybe you can make some other players more likely to score. I know the chances keep falling to Bamford and he's the main striker, so that would be the obvious thing to look at. But it's not like, I don't feel like we're creating enough chances anyway. Is the bottom line of it. I don't feel like it's like championship version of Bamford when he used to miss a load of chances. I used to feel like he was genuinely getting three or four really, really good opportunities a game and we were dominating as a whole and it was costing us. But actually when the tactics were also leading you to concede three, you're asking an awful lot of your strikers to try and peg that back, aren't you? And
it does feel like the defence is exposed as well as us missing chances, doesn't it, I think. I mean, actually, Rob, it's worth saying at this point, you didn't go to the game on Sunday. So you did the, God, I mean, wow, what a punishment. You sat and watched this all again, knowing what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah, which was a nice way to spend my Monday evening. Moscow actually messaged me asking if I could do the podcast today, asking me to bring some enthusiasm and sort of youthful energy to this podcast. And I think I was 77 minutes in at that point and the crowd had just started singing Sack the Bod. And I thought, you're on your ass here, Moscow, but I'll give it my best shot. But it was interesting because I think earlier in the season, I'd missed the Brentford game and watched that back later, knowing the score and expecting it to be an absolute clusterfuck, which it was, but it was actually not as bad as I was expecting, considering the scoreline. And actually, there was lots of good play in that and Leeds kept creating chances and worked the ball well. And actually, I watched the Fulham game back and it just looked like this is done. Like everything about it seemed just dead. Like the crowd, the players, there was just no kind of, there was no sense that Leeds were ever going to get back into that game once they went behind. And the thing that the point that Yankee John makes, I think, you know, the pressing and things like that are all good, but there can be other stuff as well as that. There can be a way of playing and creating chances other than tackling the defensive midfielder. And actually, there just doesn't seem to be any, and that there never has seemed to have been. I think last season, there was games that I absolutely hated, even games we won. I remember like the 3-0 win at Watford, watching that, just hating it. Like, it was horrible. But you did think, well, his job here is just to keep us up. And then he's had the summer to kind of implement his tactics more. And actually, it just still seems the same. And I think Moscow said a few weeks back that in one of Masha's many podcast or coaching seminars, he laid out all these detailed plans for pressing and things like that. And then someone asked him, well, what do you actually do when you get the ball? And he just sort of went, there's loads of plans about that. Don't worry. And it does seem that way. And you think about, I actually think those three players that play behind the striker, as much as the striker is a problem and we're not scoring enough goals, those three players behind him, Harrison, Aronson, Sinisterra, are all really good and creative, but we just don't seem to have a plan of how to get them into a game very much. And you think back to last season, he played Rafinha at wing back. Like, that was his plan, to get Rafinha into the game.
And the long
wing-back.
Throws. Don't forget the long throws.
Come on.
Well, maybe that's why the defence is looking so shabby. It doesn't have Rafinha in it anymore.
But also, I think the defending's getting worse. We weren't defending as bad at the start of the season, I don't think. And it just seems to be disintegrating at the minute.
Well, the defending for that, I mean, I put some screen grabs on the prep sheet of the defending for the third goal. It is absolutely awful. Like, there are so many Leeds players in the picture. And in fact, let's count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 9 Leeds players in that picture and Melier. And yet,
there's nobody within, 4 or 5 yards of...
I was going to say, and yet there are 3 completely unmarked. Well, arguably, all 5 Fulham players in the box are unmarked. It's actually quite amazing to achieve such a thing.
They're zonally marking fresh air, aren't they? Well, I'll tell you what, let's dip into the opposition then as well. And Fulhamish, they had some views on our defending.
We get the corner, then the ball comes back out to Pereira, who whips it in, and Bobby Reid just is in so much space. I don't really know what the Leeds defenders were doing here. I think it's in between Cooper and someone else. I can't remember who the other defender was, but Bobby Reid just glances it into the far post. But from a Leeds perspective, those first 2 goals to concede are absolutely criminal, because I just still don't understand. I've watched the highlights back multiple times, you know, last night, and I rewatched back match day 2 this morning. Like, how is he in so much space there?
Interesting question around penis ball as well that follows from all this. Fuck Fizzy Drink Football is the name of the person who sent this in. And FFDF's hot take is that Radrizzani is determined to be a disruptor and has seen that in other leagues, the Red Bull high-intensity style has allowed teams to find undervalued players based on their physical attributes that then perform way above their expectation. It is a bit moneyball, isn't it?
Hmm.
And FFDF is saying, our issue is that we haven't found players that fit this style and that they're undervalued. For example, we spent 27 million on Aronson, so he might fit the style, but he's not undervalued. 25 million for James. And FFDF is saying, I'm not convinced this style can work in the Premier League either. And just finishes off by saying, fuck's sake, I miss Bielsa.
It's a fair point on the style because it hasn't particularly worked because Rangnick is the man who's the architect of this and it failed miserably. And I know Scum have got many, many problems about them and probably more so last year when he was brought in as a temporary measure.
None more so than the person in the number seven shirt.
He had a load of dickheads refusing to do what he was asking of them, I'm sure, as well, which can't have helped. But it didn't work there. It feels like Southampton have been on the verge of sacking Hasenhüttl for about three seasons now. They're basically, he just sort of always manages to win a game and not be booted. But that's the other main example of it. And actually, when you look at how it's worked elsewhere, one of the times it really didn't work for Leipzig was when Jesse Marsch was was doing it. Like, prior to and after his stint there, it seems to have worked pretty well for him.
Even like Nagelsmann tweaked his style, didn't he?
But it's not worked there. Yeah, and I know he did well at Salzburg, but there are so many caveats to that, aren't there, about the quality of the league, the quality of the management, the fact he had Haaland, like their budget versus the rest of the league. Like, they should win that league.
Well, what we do know is that they're all working very hard behind the scenes, which we'll come on to about the boardroom in just a sec. But I guess this one points a finger at Victor Orta. And there's another interesting question here. Does the recruitment problem, does it extend beyond the obvious? And Jean-Luc Colombo has flagged up that Sinisterra, who is our marquee attacking signing this time, basically plays the same position as Jackie Harrison, one of the few players that Leeds probably didn't need to upgrade.
Well, it extends as well beyond the players we didn't sign because we tried to also get Gakpo and De Ketelaere. And I don't think either of those have an obvious place. They're not a left-back or a striker.
Issue number 10, isn't it?
Well, that goes back to penis ball as well, is that we've got a squad kind of built on width and wingers and we've hired a manager who plays really narrow and needs width coming from his full-backs and we don't have a left-back. We've got Junior Firpo, but I mean,
we don't have a left back.
We don't need to go back over that, do we? It doesn't seem joined up here.
No. I mean, and I suppose you can go back as far as Dan James as well. And I know that was a Bielsa thing, but the fact we've got him and disposed of him again within a year.
We should still have him, you know.
Well, I mean,
I know you're not a fan of him, Michael, but he's a Premier League level player, regardless of whether you think his output is good enough or not. you can give him the ball and he can run with it fast past people, which is something we don't often seem to do.
He doesn't often go past people, actually.
Let's move on.
I've not really missed him, but we would still have him had we not completely fucked the transfer deadline day, which is, I just guess, does go back to recruitment, that we essentially got rid of him to try and sign Gakpo or, I can't remember his name, Dieng, and didn't get either. And then we got Nonto, who we've not seen yet, other than for the under-21. It's fucked. They made such a mess of that.
Malpraxis is the word that Jean-Luc Colombo uses. Why on earth didn't we sign a right-sided attacker? One of many questions. They're working hard behind the scenes, though, and that's the important thing.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You missed Elland Road, Rob, on Sunday, but you've been in that sort of environment before. You know what it's like when it starts to get a little bit anarchic. Where were you, by the way?
I was in the Lake District at a wedding, so I was up a hill on Sunday when the team news came in and my phone started going mad.
You think of just jumping off the side? Yeah, well, you know, striding edge.
It was absolutely pissing it down, and I thought, I'm really glad I'm here. but saying that, I was sad to miss it because I was intrigued to hear what Elland Road was like. But having watched the game back, I couldn't quite believe how apathetic it seemed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Methley Chris has sent a message in on this point. Was it weird on Sunday?
Just walking back from the game now. It all needs throwing in the bin. Marsh knows it. The board know it. The fans know it. The apathy of the fans today. The first goal was celebrated like a friendly goal. Virtually no bad chance at all. Not, certainly nothing of volume. It needs to be undone now so we can start after the World Cup with a fresh start, write this bit off and go again. It's awful. No plan, no idea, no urgency. Embarrassing.
There you go.
The reaction extended to all the goals as well, because the Fulham goals were all greeted with a fuck's sake. Mm. And like the second goal, still long, I've mentioned this in the match, but still so long in the game left, and there was no like, come on, we can still do this. It was that's that done. And when Somerville scored, I know there were only 2 minutes to go. But we've seen games before where the Blackburn game under Bielsa, for example, where you come back and you can still have at least one more attack and one last big push. But it felt like, oh well, consolation, fine.
I was thinking that during the Leicester game when there was like half an hour left or whatever. Never ever thought we'll get back into this.
No.
And it would have only taken a goal to really kind of change the feeling about that. And it was the same on Sunday. And it kind of speaks to the lack of confidence that Marsh was chatting about after the game. And I found that so worrying because Jesse Marsh is like Mr. Confidence, isn't he? That was the whole reason of bringing him in, was that the players were stressed and mentally overworked under Bielsa. And you think, get this guy in and he'll be their mate. And, you know, he's part of the WhatsApp group and he's...
And they look like they're blowing out their arse after 70 minutes.
And now he's saying that they're not confident. You think, that's what you're here for, though, isn't it?
You're here for the vibes.
Yeah.
They're not confident and they're not fit enough. Brilliant.
Let's hear from some cottagers then. Cottage Talk had this to say on our fans.
Because the fans were always going to play a big part. Leeds, they're amongst the most raucous in the country.
Right.
So when things are going well, it's a tough place to play. But when they're not, and they're in the mood they were this afternoon, especially towards the end of the second half, then it turns a little ugly. Players know it. Obviously, Jesse Marsh would know it. And so the recriminations will begin.
There you go. The recriminations will begin.
I don't think it did turn that ugly. I've got to be honest. There were little pockets of it and a few chants.
Yeah.
But mainly people just went, well, it's the end of that then.
It is the sense. It was funeral. What's that word I mean?
Yeah.
Like a funeral.
Like a funeral.
It was a bit like a funeral. Well, afterwards, Kinnear was, was he surreptitiously filmed? There's a point in this, and you might have seen this, it's been doing the rounds on Twitter. Steve, the Irish Coast Guard, captured this one, and it's Kinnear has been cornered, is that the right word? Talking to some Irish Norwegian fans who've been over to watch this for the weekend, and somebody is sort of pointing the phone in his direction, and he clocks the phone, and you see him eye the phone, as if to say, I know I'm on camera now. If you haven't heard it, here it is.
Has Jesse delivered?
Yeah, look, the results aren't what we need them to be. Everyone knows that. So, we're working behind the scenes, to try and fix it. So that's the thing. Players are working hard. Jess is working really hard. Backroom staff are working really hard.
Have you got confidence in him, Angus?
Yeah, we still think he can do a great job for us. But the results are what we want to be. So, we'll just keep working hard and focus on the next game. And that's the best we can do. The players, they're giving 100%. They're devastated in there.
Where does it turn? We've got Liverpool next week, Nick.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Every game's tough in this league.
There you go. Answers or non-answers. Is Kinnear going for a career in politics?
Working hard. We're all working hard.
It's worth watching that, because I'd love a body language expert to analyse that, because at the moment when he asks if he's got his back in, Kinnear shakes his head.
And, then, and also goes, we still think he can do it. Like a job for us, maybe not the manager's job, a job, and then he also tries to move it on really quickly. He doesn't want to dwell on it, does he?
He really looks like a sad schoolboy that someone's put in a suit, and he's sort of getting told off by his parents, just like I'm sorry, it's, you know, I'll change, I'll do better,
keep working. I mean, Moscow wrote this in his match report as well, but saying working hard, doing what?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, does it?
No, like how is everyone behind the scenes helping?
I mean, to keep doing the same. Harder.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say exactly. I'm glad you said that because that was basically apparently Bielsa's response to this was to work even harder, and it was cited as one of the reasons for sacking him. So if all it is just working harder, then history would tend to suggest that the club don't like that.
You're not too hard,
right? Just Jesse. There's a hard sweet spot.
Just Jesse hard.
Not too hard.
That's
just
what you need.
Perfect hardness. Mm. Right. Maybe Steve Nicol. Do you think? He's absolutely nailed this because Steve Nicol's former Liverpool defender. He's a pundit for ESPN now in the USA. And this is him, but talking about this was after Leicester then. It wasn't.
Yeah.
We hadn't got to the disaster of Fulham.
Same thing, basically.
Yeah, same vibes.
Well, the way to get it out is to win some games. And to do that, you've got to score goals. And I have no idea where the goals are coming from. I mean, Bamford had a good first season in the Premier League, no question. But to me, he's not a goal scorer. And they don't have anybody else that you can rely on to score goals. Well, I wouldn't rely on him either. So the only way to stay up is if there are three teams that are just that bad. And it's kind of close because I think there's half a dozen sides at the bottom of the Premier League that could go down. So they might be lucky. They'll generally give everything they have. I don't think you can ever question the desire. Certainly was like that under Bielsa. I think it's the same under Jesse Marsh. They always give everything. I just don't think they're that good. And as I said, their biggest problem for me will be getting some goals because I have no idea who's going to score for them in order for them to win games.
I love that they still are quite transparently doing what we said before, which is to put a little jazzy bed underneath him just because he's so dour sounding that they've got to do something just to lift it.
Sounds like the weirdest Quentin Tarantino film. That soundtrack.
Oh dear. Good old Steve. He's fair old nailed it, hasn't he? We're just not.
He probably has, unfortunately. I mean, we did score twice against Fulham.
But it says a lot, doesn't it, that when Moscow published his match report on the website, which is a good read, by the way, as we mentioned there, he put 3-1 because it didn't even feel like we scored the second goal. In my mind, it was 3-1, even though I was there and witnessed the second one.
I mean, the goals could come from Gellhart and Somerville, I suppose. We've not seen enough of them.
But and chances of them coming from Gellhart are minimal if he gets 8 minutes.
That is correct. And that is a Jesse Marsh choice.
Yep. You have had great fun compiling this particular clip, Michael, because this was Stevie dialing in from home, wasn't it? He wasn't in the studio this time.
He often is calling in from home. And he's got,
and you've gone a bit Hollywood movie on this, haven't you?
But the ultra enhancing of images.
Just to explain, he sat there in front of his bookshelf, his DVD collection's there just behind him.
He's got a pig holding a football. That's nice.
Yep.
He's got a trophy that on a previous clip they once asked him what the trophy was behind him, and he basically pretended he couldn't look at it. He was like, "Oh yeah, what? And the trophy behind you, Stevie? What is it?"
Just
and he's
turn
like,
your, just turn your
and
head.
He's going, "Well, I can't see it." And they're going, "Well, just don't turn around then." And he was going,
"But
I can't see it. I'm looking at you." And they were like, "Yeah, but you don't have to be. Just turn around.
You're in the room, Steve." No, it feels like the modern era has bypassed him a little bit, doesn't it? But what you've done is you've taken screen grabs from this and you've done the old Hollywood computer enhance to try and see what's on his DVD shelf just to get a glimpse into his amazing life. Was it Nicol? Did he save someone from drowning, or did he nearly drown?
He nearly drowned.
That was it. Yeah,
he nearly killed someone by setting the hair on fire. It was Gary Ablett's wife. He set her hair on fire. I'm not saying she nearly died, but her hair was on fire.
If your hair's on fire, you know you're in trouble.
It's not a good situation to be in, is it?
Maybe not so much for you.
It's unlikely, but what hair I've got, I wouldn't want setting on fire.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
just keep flames away from my head. as a general,
it's
rule.
A good rule of thumb, isn't it?
Yeah. But Steve thought that was a good laugh anyway. But yeah, then he. I think while he played for Sheffield Wednesday, from memory, he had to be dragged out of a pond.
Mind you, if I was forced to play for Sheffield Wednesday, I would just want the waters to wash over me.
So he's a man of the past. Is Steve Nicol?
They look like VHSs to me. Do those as well as some DVDs?
Some of them might be because of his three casualty box sets that he's got.
I mean, casualty, by the way, because we do have people listening abroad. is basically a drama set in a hospital, Saturday night TV.
Long-running hospital dramas, probably started 90s, early 90s,
think,
I'd say.
Think ER, but less sexy.
Each episode usually starts with an emergency, like someone having their hair set on fire.
Or like someone, man going...
That's why he likes it.
I know this pond's thick enough for me to walk on. That sort of thing.
I'm just going to retrieve my ball from over here.
So there's always a comedy setup almost at the start of it, which we're going, I know how to change a light bulb, sort of a thing.
Let me hang on. I've sweat my fingers, that kind of jazz.
So he's got in his collection, sadly, I can't work all of it out.
Yeah.
But he's got three casualty box sets.
Yeah.
Which is, because casualty is one of those things that, in the days prior to Netflix, you'd sort of watch it sometimes, wouldn't you? Because
it was Saturday night, it was on the TV. It was like, that. Or if you didn't want to watch the light entertainment on the other side, you'd watch that, the drama on the other.
Yeah, you had like four channels, so you might have got like, it might have been against Gladiators or something, ITV, which was good. I'd have watched Gladiators, but yeah, it was like, it's kind of a thing you might watch if it was on. But Stevie has gone, well, I might have moved to America, but I'm going to need my casualty, so I'm going to re-watch some old episodes. So he's got that. He's got he's got a big Downton Abbey box set and then another one next to it, I'm thinking it's maybe the Christmas special or something. Yep. Then he's got...
Have you ever watched Downton Abbey?
Some of it. I used to work at ITV, didn't I? So I just
Do you have to?
Well,
they used to sit you down, put sticks in your eyes and force you.
It was a big deal on it. Not really for me, I have to say. But no, I am kind of aware of it.
Really should do more on your time at ITV.
What if I have to go back into it?
If this goes tits up, please have me back.
I'll be honest, they're hugely unlikely to have me back.
why is that? Is that because your work output dropped to an absolutely disgraceful level towards the end?
I mean, it probably did, but it was still better than a lot of people. which is not saying much, is it? I sent a slightly shitty email on my exit as well.
What did it say?
I just chucked a couple of people under the bus.
Oh, really?
Only dickheads.
Your managers?
Basically.
Yeah, good lad.
Not immediate manager, but some of the...
Not the ones you liked, obviously.
Some of the more difficult to love personalities in there. But no,
what an inspirational colleague you are.
During my time at ITV, one thing I never watched was The Commander. Do you remember that?
No.
He's got that.
Was that a police drama, is it?
Yeah, you almost couldn't write this, because if you were taking the piss with Steve Nichol, you'd go for something a bit more mainstream or something than he might choose to have a box set of. But yeah, The Commander was a British crime drama broadcast on ITV1 starring Amanda Burton.
Now appears to be on Acorn TV, so you might be able to find it.
Between 2003 and 2008. So he's got a box set of that as well that he's going to watch.
Yep.
And the weirdest thing he's got, because he's got several of these, it's so blurry, it was kind of hard to make out, but I was like, is that word...
Computer enhanced.
I think the word is kettle on that. So then I started trying to find things concerning the word kettle. I thought maybe it was, spying kettle or something? Mm. But it's the singing kettle.
Right, yeah.
Have you ever heard of the singing kettle?
I mean, I have now. I mean, you're asking me this question. I've looked at this sheet, so yeah, I have now.
But he's got several of these. He's got at least three singing kettle DVDs.
Yeah.
And I've got a little clip to show you what the singing kettle do. This is the intro from a BBC Kids series of the 90s.
Okay. It's catchy, is this, isn't it? Just going to talk over this, so don't get done by the algorithm for playing out songs. Yeah, so we should just talk over this.
I'm not sure a live version of the singing kettle is going to be picked up by any algorithm. Also, that's an old song, isn't it? Surely you can.
Yeah, it's a traditional song. Yeah, probably.
You can probably get anyway.
Steve is a man in his 60s, I believe, isn't he?
That's what I imagine the inside of Andrea Radrizzani's brain sounds like.
Don't say that, because we'll be fucking running out to that song in another couple of weeks against Bournemouth. Jesus wept. Should we have a little bit of Jake bashing before we go?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, do you have, this is the final question I want to pose from this show. Do you have what it takes to be world class, like Jake Humphrey is implying he is?
I already am.
His show? So Humphrey, if you don't know who he is, he's a football TV presenter on BT Sport in the UK, and he has a podcast.
He invented the podcast.
Yeah, well, I was going to say he pioneered the podcast format through his very recently conceived High Performance podcast, didn't he? We should probably explain that joke. for anybody who's not seen it. It's quite a niche joke about him trying to claim ownership of how great podcasts are because he happened to put one out that's moderately successful. Bearable twat. Anyway, he's getting down to the important stuff on one of his more recent ones.
World-class basics. You talk about clean your desk, make your bed, get your things in order. Can you explain to us why those seemingly insignificant things matter so deeply?
Make your bed, tidy up, so you don't get told off by your mum, innit? You're still living at home.
Bless him, Jake. I do hear people talk about these things as if like it's a
big revelation or something.
Something to have achieved at the start of the day and it gets you on the right track and stuff. But my problem is with stuff like this. It's why I can't handle jigsaws and stuff as well. I just think, well, anyone could do that given enough time.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of pointless, isn't it? Which I don't think is what you need for a motivational podcast.
Do you make your bed?
Yeah, but that's... Well, so my wife don't tell me off, but then she remakes it because I don't do a nice enough job of it.
Of course, yeah. But there's always merits in that, though, not quite doing a job well enough so you don't have to do it
And
again.
She puts the cushion on it, which then gets fucked off at the end of every day because the cushion on a bed obviously doesn't achieve anything, does it? So
we've got 3 hours lobbed on the floor every night.
What a waste of time. Just sit in a corner. I've also got the pillowcase I'm not allowed to use. I can't remember why. There's some... Which pillow do you sleep on? And that has to go in a particular pillowcase. I don't fucking know. I just go along with it.
Just stay quiet.
I just go. Fine. Well, whatever.
Do you make your bed, Rob?
Yeah, not particularly well, but I'm happy not to be world class in that sense. It's fine.
You'll get over it. Yeah. More propaganda over on Propaganda Extra then.
Jake, we did discover in the past week as well, did you see his pictures of his home gym that he put on, where he has...
Looked a bit sort of prison-y vibes, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's in his basement of his really nice house that he always posts pictures on.
But he's humble, remember? You've got to be humble. Stay humble.
He is very...
And do you remember when he posted that picture of his Ferrari or whatever it was, some sports car parked outside Norwich Market? You know, like it's all just kind of
just back, pop into the market,
yeah, back where it all began, kind of thing. Yeah, you know, don't forget your roots. And he's like, what he meant is, I'm a twat. Look at my posh car. Just
all the chairs though in his house, incredibly uncomfy.
Well, I mean, in his gym, he's got it says on the wall, doesn't it? And what
one of them says, enforce your will, which I think is a little bit.
That's not very cool.
No. Yeah.
Not that he's ever done it on anyone who didn't want it enforcing on them.
But surely that is enforcing, isn't it? Enforcement must therefore meet some sort of resistance. But I think this is probably a discussion for another day.
Levi's solicitors, 10% off.
Thanks, Levi's. They were just hovering there in the corner of your mind, aren't they, when you're doing this show. And there you go, that does wrap up Propaganda. We've got more Propaganda Extra on the way for you. A little bit of Warnock as well, which is probably safer over there.
Away from his solicitors.
From his solicitors. And Ghost Shark, remember Ghost Shark who came on with the deep gravelly voice? Yeah. Ghost Shark over on that. So check out.
Warnock solicitors actually have always been fairly standoffish, haven't they, when people have made some quite libelous comments about Warnock in the past.
That brings it to the end
of that. He's always chosen not to sort of pursue any of those things.
I think let's just wrap it up there. David. Thank you for listening and watching. And we'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.